Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Left after the fake. He's going to air it out. Deep downfield. Has a man open. It's caught at the 15-yard line by Van Jefferson. And he gets up and rumbles to the end zone. Matthew Stafford with a bomb. It's got the great arm. We know that. And then Jefferson makes the catch, rolls over, doesn't get touched, and takes it in.
Not the start we wanted. That was ugly. Welcome in. Hamp and OB and Carm. Cause coming up, sponsored by your local Chevy dealers at ChevyDrivesChicago.com. The Rams 34, the Bears 14. The Bears are 0-1. They are tied for first place in the NFC North. So there is that. Ham.
They're also tied for last.
That's the
You want to cut your cheese.
Yeah. So, all right, Hampo, why don't we start with you? Takeaways from tonight. An interesting night of football. I don't know what positive you can find for tonight other than David Montgomery, but that's about one of them.
Well, we're going to get to David Montgomery. And you know what? What's really sad is in the pregame, we talked about three different concepts or aspects of this game that we're leery of and worried about, and they all have to do with the head coach. Look, this isn't Exhibit A or B or C or D or any. It's Exhibit Z on why he should have been let go last year. This team on the offensive side purports to have all the answers and all the schematics and all the things you got to have to be able to compete in the NFL. And unfortunately, if you look at the stats, it was pretty abysmal. OB, if you look at Matt Stafford, who tonight playing his very, very first game in that organization, he had 156.1 QBR. Last time I checked,
through the roof.
That's called perfect. Perfect. Now, Andy Dalton wasn't the reason we lost, but he damn sure didn't do a whole lot to help us win. When you have essentially, you know, inspired such little confidence, not only in the offensive coordinator, but the head coach who is, you know, responsible for the concept of the plays on how you try to create mismatches and get people open down the field. The Rams threw the ball down the field and they win the game. We refuse to throw the ball down the field. We think a few big runs is enough. Not on the road, not against an offense that scored 34 points. We averaged, Andy Dalton, who essentially, you know, as the starter, this is, you're going to hang it on him. He averaged 5.4 yards per attempt. Stafford averaged well over twice that, 12 yards per attempt. Folks, it doesn't take a genius to figure out why our offense is almost stuck in reverse, let alone neutral.
Well, Danny, I'm going to tell you something. When we go back and look at what we talked about in the pregame show for the hour, I mean, we hit on a lot of different things. But what astonishes me, absolutely blows my mind, is our passing game. Our passing game. Folks, not one time did we have a hitch and go. Not one time did we try a fly pattern. Not one time did we do a skinny post. Not one time did we do crossing ends. Not one time did we throw a post pattern. Not one time did we throw the ball over 20 yards. My God, this is the year 2021. This is a passing game, a passing league. How is this possible? Our longest gain on a pass today was, what, 19 yards? Most of it 9, 5, whatever. It's a Danny, I'm going to tell you what, it's an absolute joke. And somebody's got to answer for this, okay? Somebody's got to answer for how is it possible that you can come out after the exhibition game, after last season, after paying a Dalton $10 million and giving up an entire draft to draft Fields, and you mean to tell me you can't throw a ball over 20 yards in the opening game of the 21 season? That's a disgrace, and it falls right on Nagy's head.
And this is against a defense that basically all night long, Collinsworth talked about, they play a soft umbrella. They're basically saying, if you want to throw in the middle of the field, down the field, there's going to be openings. But here's the thing. With the first 4 minutes of the game, we get some big plays, some big breaks, and yet Nagy has the propensity to create these idiotic mistakes. You know, we're going to talk about bringing Fields in after the offense is on the move and on the track to be able to score.
That was a disgrace.
Well, and then they call it a timeout. And then, the defense gets beat deep. Then the defense doesn't touch the guy down. He gets up and runs for a touchdown. These are things that you don't want to see in your team the first preseason game. This is the opener under the lights. National television, and it was a disgrace. But here's the thing. We went for it on fourth down three times tonight, Mark Carmen. When you're down, sometimes you got to do that. But to go on fourth and 15 when we could kick a field goal and cut it to 10 and give us a bona fide chance, to me, that was a slap in the face to the entire team. Him basically saying, I don't believe you can do it. I'm gonna throw something against the wall. And you know what play they call? They call a 12-yard out on a 4th and 15. Enough already.
Folks, you can't make this stuff up. You saw it right on television. You cannot make this stuff up. And in the opening part of the game, okay, the run, the kickoff return, magnificent run. Dalton comes in. We run Montgomery runs the ball, phenomenal. We get a pass, and we're down in the red zone. And they're moving fast. They're coming out of the huddle. They've got a momentum going. They're right going down. They're right for the striker in the red zone, ready to go and score. And what the hell does Nagy do? He pulls Andy Dalton and puts Fields in. That blows the momentum, folks. You can't change that rhythm. They're used to that voice, that name. He's the one that took us down the field. And what does he do? He takes them out, puts Fields in for one play. Nothing happens. I'll tell you what happened. He just blew the momentum, and he just blew a 7-point, what we could have taken, a 7-point game, a 7-point lead. I almost came flying out of the chair when I saw Fields come in there. What are you bringing that kid in there for when the other guy takes you down the field? He's your starting quarterback, and it's the opening drive, and we're moving the ball on him, and you do what? You idiot!
You know, a lot of people, and we're going to have you call, Carm, what is the number? It's 312.
312-981-7200. Phone lines are open. Ed, Kareem, I see you guys lining up. We'll take a ton of calls
tonight. And here's the thing, folks. Listen, this guy beside me played the game a long time with a bunch of great players. I played it a long time with a bunch of great players. It's a team. It's not an organization of individuals. It's a team. Now, here's the deal. I'm no great fan of Andy Dalton, but for him to be jerked out and brought off the field and then insert field, here's what happens. Okay, Dalton will never admit this. No quarterback will ever admit this, but it changes everything.
Yes, it does.
Now, they think, look what I just did, but it's not good enough. You know, little Nagy over here is going to take me off the field and put the hot shot in. And you know what? It makes him have an infirm psychic nature where he's now not going to make good decisions, sound decisions. He's going to make some stupid errors. And that's what he did. He wound up throwing the ball and he'd get patted up in the end zone and taken, by the Rams for an interception. And don't say, and he'll never admit it. And OB, know they're
right.
Nagy will never, but that's what happens. It's just human nature. And I got to tell you, when Fields came in, OB, you stood up and you kicked your chair and you threw your cane against the wall. And you said, watch what happens. And boom, there it was. But I told you in the pregame, Nagy can't stand it for everybody not to be screaming, oh, you're a genius, you're a genius. He wanted the world to see how creative he was.
Let me tell you something. What's so funny, the number one, we're going against the number one defense, folks, okay, in the Rams. So we've got that initial roll. My God, that would have been so great just to keep Dalton in there going and get the 7 points and defensively get after him. So he takes Dalton out, and in comes Fields. Now, here's the laughable thing. Aaron Donald, you think, here comes Fields. What? He's supposed to put the fear of God into the number one defense in the National Football League? Or he's going to come with some trick play that's going to just blow the minds and just beat the hell out of the Rams defense? It is beyond laughable, folks. That was a huge, huge mistake. Mark my words, I know what I'm talking about. That was a giant mistake. He never should have put Fields in there on that opening drive. We were going in. We were right there. Dalton had control, and this guy brings Fields in and blows the whole karma.
Let's look at it on a macro level, too, because I think if you got to the end of the season and Fields was developed and you actually felt like you had a quarterback, I think Bears fans would feel good about the year. Developing him this way, hey, go out there and do, forget about just winning one game, just gadgeting up Justin Fields, this is how we're going to get you acclimated to the NFL. That, to me, doesn't seem like it's really going to help him. Is there any value?
What do you think it's going to do? It's going to make him have this mentality that I am not good enough, proficient enough to play the position that the other 31 quarterbacks in the league play, so I'm going to be Mr. Gadget. And it's almost almost like the quarterback down in New Orleans. I can't remember his name right now.
Taysom Hill.
Yeah, right, right. Yeah. A great athlete. And as a change of pace here and there, Sean Payton thought it was a great idea. Guess what? They didn't go anywhere last year. Yeah, they beat us in the playoffs. Big deal. Our offense was putrid. But the point being is, in the big picture, macro level, as you just brought up, where is it going to lead to the future with this kid if he's only relegated to gadget situations?
Exactly. What are you doing? What are you thinking about? But you've got to have karma. You've got to move the ball. You got to do it. And you're going to keep bringing this kid in when you get into the red zone. Like what? He's going to walk on water? What the hell is Nagy thinking about? What is that offensive coordinator thinking about? And I'm going to tell you what, I'm going to go back to what I said about 5-10 minutes ago. How is it possible we don't throw one pass over 20 yards, folks?
9 yards is as deep as the ball ever went down the field.
Folks, not one pass. And this is a passing league in the opening game. Look at the stats, folks. You'll see what I'm talking about. How the hell is it possible with Darnell Mooney, who runs a 100-yard dash in the blink of an eye, and we're throwing 2-foot outs to him? We're throwing slip screens? And we're supposed to win a football game? I mean, folks, I'm telling you, this guy, Nagy, oh my God.
The last possession after that idiotic episode with Ogletree, we had a 6-yard out, a 4-yard slant, a 1-yard check down, a 1-yard out to the tight end at his feet on the ground. The fourth down was a sack. That is desperation offense, Nagy style. It goes nowhere.
Here, just real quickly. Here, what happened with the Rams? 56-yard touchdown pass, 67-yard touchdown pass, 37-yard pass. Unbelievable. Us, 5-yard, 2-yard passes, 6-yard passes. Not a pass even 20 yards long, folks. How the hell is that even possible?
312-981-7200. We'll get to a ton of calls coming on back here. Hamp and OB and Carm. That's me, sponsored by your local Chevy dealers at ChevyDriveChicago.com. Rams 34, Bears 14, with you till midnight on 720 WGN.
And Fields has come into the game, so we thought we might see a little bit of him. And here he comes in, just a couple of plays into the game. He's got both Montgomery and Williams flanking him in the backfield. Now Williams goes in motion, and Fields' his first play as a Bear is a complete pass, a little short of the first down.
There was Justin Fields' his first play as a Bear. OB was not happy.
A little short of the first down.
It never should have happened, Mark, okay?
I get it.
You're moving down there. I mean, come on.
I was stunned. I was like, oh, my God, they are really doing this right here. Hamp and OB, sponsored by your local Chevy dealers at ChevyDriveChicago.com.
Let me just jump in real quick and make this one little statement, okay, which I made last year. And it's about Darnell Mooney, our wideout, okay, from Tulane. Darnell Mooney, folks, is so fast that and he's got good hands. And I just want to say, in a 40-yard dash, how fast this kid runs. And if you basically break it down, if you say like 1,001, okay, that's a second, right? That kid has traveled 10 yards, approximately 10 yards. And we're throwing 2-foot outs, 3-yard outs to this kid. And tonight, we don't even try to stretch the field and let this kid fly and get downfield, launch the ball up in the air. I'm telling you how fast this kid is. And that just happens to be a fact. And we don't use him deep. We make no threats. We don't threaten the Rams' defensive backs. We don't do anything. We do not take advantage of the entire field in our passing game. My God.
Our two starting wideouts average less than 6 yards a catch.
You got to be kidding.
No, 5.8 and 5.2 for Mooney.
They have some burners too. But the biggest thing,
a good one can go.
But a good one can run. Yes, we do. But I'm talking about Mooney. My God, the guy's a flash. He's gone.
Well, part of the problem is they cannot protect the quarterback, and that falls on Ryan Pace's head.
Well, then guess what? Go to play action bootleg. Okay, go to fire out blocking instead of dropping back. Engage him at the line of scrimmage. There's things that you can do to fight against the pass rush. Engage him at the line of scrimmage. Don't drop back. And hit and fall back. Hit and fall back. And not just fall back and get run over. And those are things that you can do, Mark.
And the best player on the field was Montgomery. Over 100 yards, and yet we didn't do anything in play action. Zero play action.
Can you imagine that?
It's idiotic.
Folks, we ain't making this stuff up. We're not making this stuff up, folks. That's what you saw tonight.
Kareem, you're on 720 WGN. Hampton OB, go ahead.
Hi, guys. First, may I ask the good Lord to be with our guy, Mongo McMichael. I don't know if there's any chance he's listening, but if he is, I hope he knows. I know he knows that a lot of us are praying for him.
Well, that's a wonderful, wonderful thing to say, my friend. God bless you is right.
Prayers for 76.
Moving to Akeem Hicks. Note to the media, national and local, can they please stop with the idea that this guy is an elite player? When he's at the top of his game, he's good. But sometimes they say the best ability is availability. He's injured, nicked up half the time. When has he ever taken over a game like Tommy Harris did in his prime, or Mongo for that matter? Hell, Mongo probably isn't in the Hall of Fame only because they say, oh, he had Hampton and Dent, which is true. Well, Hicks has Mack, who's double, triple teamed, and he still doesn't do squat. And tonight, what killed me, I'm done with Akeem Hicks. 4 minutes left in the fourth quarter. He makes a good play, but it's like second down. 4 minutes left in the fourth quarter, down by 2 scores, and he's out there pounding his chest like he did something special. This guy's a crybaby. They showed him.
Kareem, we're up against that. Appreciate it. You're firing on Akeem. Anybody in reaction to that?
Look, 2 years ago,
we understand what you're saying.
Yeah.
Kareem, hey, we understand.
There's a time and place for, celebrating tonight wasn't anywhere close to the right time.
And he's on the downside of his prime. When he was going well a couple of years ago, Akeem Hicks was a monster.
In 18, he and Mack were a hell of a tandem. Not so much tonight.
Get the news coming up here. We got Kaz coming up, and then we'll get to your calls. 312-981-7200. It's time now for the Rosen Red Zone Report, sponsored by Scott Levy's Rosen Hyundai of Algonquin and Kenosha. We've been talking about using Justin Fields in the red zone tonight, and he did get in the end zone with the one touchdown, which was probably the highlight of the game, outside of David Montgomery.
And he wouldn't have scored if J.P. Holtz hadn't made an amazing block, stymieing the linebacker and then going and getting the safety. It was a great block.
There we go. All right, quick timeout, 720 WGN.
Here's Cooper Kupp, and Kupp still on his feet, breaking tackles, and he's going to get a first down. Cooper Kupp, Stafford loves it.
Avid OB, sponsored by your local Chevy dealers at ChevyDriveChicago.com. That was an example of the Bears tackling tonight,
which was putrid. And, Eddie Jackson may have been a good player 2 years ago, but the last 2 years he's a rumor, and he's not a factor. And when you pay players to become, a so-called star, and they make no impact in the game, your franchise is doomed.
Let's bring in our guy, the Kaz Man, on his show. What's up, Kazi? Welcome in, brother.
Well, new year, same old stuff. That's the most difficult part about it. A dumb head football coach. And, guys, I don't even know where to begin, but what I would say is, Hamp, you and I at least had a half of a great weekend because your Hogs took apart Texas and my Cougars finally beat the dreaded guys up north in Utah. So we almost had the Triple Crown this weekend.
Yeah, some small solace, though. Hey, watching this game tonight, Kaz, OB and I were just talking. We averaged 5.3 yards per rush attempt, 5.2 yards per pass attempt. When will that ever win in the NFL today?
Well, you saw it in New Orleans. They took apart Green Bay and they beat them by running the football. I mean, they had the quarterback threw for five touchdowns, but he only had 148 yards, and 60 of them was on one pass. So you can win, but what the Rams were doing tonight is they had three down linemen and they had basically a dime package. They had one linebacker. They were inviting the Bears to run, and they snap off this great drive to start the game off by running the football. And then we get down into the red zone. They insert the rookie. He makes a nice pass. They get to the 2-yard line, but you knock off all the rhythm and timing of your quarterback. And to make it worse, we get the interception, but then they go right down and look. When a guy catches a ball and falls on the ground at the 18-yard line, all you got to do is touch him. And our two defensive backs ran by him, didn't even try to touch him. He gets up and he scores a touchdown. So, but what makes it, again, fourth, they went three times on fourth down. In the first quarter, especially, what were they on, the 38 and 40-yard line?
Yep.
Fourth and four, and couldn't convert. So they're given a short field, and your defense is playing its butt off at that point. Kept it, and only gave up 6 points. And then when we finally did punt the ball, that's how we scored our first touchdown. Why? Because we got a short field, and it was easier to go down and score. So Nagy, his decisions to go for it on fourth and four twice was just stupid because you're telling your team that you don't believe your defense can stop them. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think it makes a ton of sense. He did the same thing with fourth and 15. It's late in the game.
That was stupid. I mean, that was the most asinine thing I've seen. How do you do that? Fourth and 15, and then you run, what was it, a 12-yard comeback
right,
or something?
Yeah.
Or maybe it was like a 12-yard out.
It was
12. You need 15 yards, so you're still short even if the guy caught it.
With nowhere to run.
Nagy was in midseason form. Hey, Kaz, we're going to get to the phone lines. We got a bunch of folks kind of irate.
All right, here we go. Ed in Texas, welcome to 720 WGN. Go ahead.
Hello, good evening, gentlemen. I was wrong in predicting a Bears win. I think my fellow Proviso East alum and I were, hopeful, but it just didn't pan out. But my question is actually about Andy Dalton, who I think played admirable. He wasn't great, but I don't think it was his fault. But my question is, what was the purpose of signing him? If he's going to play three games, start three games and get the hook, then you could have kept Nick Foles or even Trubisky for that.
Yep, Ed, we got a ton of calls. Let's answer that one and move it along here.
Well, first and foremost, it's more of a career blunder, on cue by Ryan Pace. The same way that he signed Glennon and then drafted Trubisky, which was a quagmire mess, the same thing happened here. We signed Dalton for $10 million. Come on. Nobody else in the league would have given him a third of that. And yet we sign him and then move up in the draft, give away a bunch of picks to pick a kid to have him relegated to watching Andy Dalton. So it's more, and just like Tevin Jenkins, the second round draft pick, offensive tackle. We jettisoned our two starters from a year ago, and now we have nothing at the offensive tackle position.
And just for the record, they signed him in the middle of March. They were in a panic
yep.
for no reason.
You know why they're doing it? Because they're looking for anything in the world. They don't care about their checkbook, their balance. It's all about them protecting their jobs. That's it. That's the only thing. And this is why the franchise is doomed with these two.
Jim and Aurora, welcome to WGN. Yeah, thanks. Jim, go ahead.
Yes, sir. Great. Ed, Dan, you've already summarized everything. You two are the best. So, Kaz, this one's for you, and then Ed and Dan follow up. Now that we know that Andy can't throw more than 6 or 7 yards downfield to get anything going, what do we do? Do we commit to him, or do we go to plan B?
Thanks, Jim.
Kaz, you want to take that?
Yeah, well, first and foremost, what Nagy's trying to do, and they're trying to copy Kansas City with Andy Reid when they drafted Mahomes and they let him sit behind Alex Smith for a year. Difference is they didn't plug him in the first game and have him break up the rhythm of the offense. So they're trying to copy a great organization, but we have two guys that really don't understand football. So that's the best way to answer it. But I would say this. I think it's time to probably go to Fields and take your lumps and see what happens.
And don't be shocked if that happens relatively early in next week's game. We're going to be at home. We're going to find out what this offense is going to be made of the rest of the year.
We'll take some calls coming on back here, Kaz. Stick right there. 312-981-7200. He's back. Longtime sponsor, our friend, our buddy, and our leader, Nationwide agent Jeff Vukovic. For all your auto, home, business needs, contact Vuk at jeffvuk.com. And remember, Kaz, you can sing it with me if you like. Nationwide is on your side. See our guy, Vuk. All right. 312-981-7200. Quick timeout, 720 WGN. It's Hamp and OB, sponsored by your local Chevy dealers at ChevyDriveChicago.com.
Welcome, protected well, fires, tipped, and it's going to be picked off in the end zone.
What happened on that play? Hampton OB, brought to you by ChevyDriveChicago.com, your local Chevy dealers.
It was a forced errant pass where the linebacker batted it up in the air and the Rams caught it.
I didn't know what he was looking at.
No, it was crazy.
Time now for Dan Hampton's defensive player of the game, sponsored by your local Chevy dealer, ChevyDriveChicago.com. Kazi, I want to know what you saw in that play too, but go ahead, Campo.
Well, hey, it's a small pool to select from. We'll have to give it to Roquan Smith. He had 11 total tackles. But when you give up, 34 points, and the quarterback on the opposing team has a perfect 156.1 quarterback rating, nobody really should get it.
Kazi, you want to follow up on Dalton's pass?
Well, it all started with the fact that they brought Fields in, took away the rhythm. They're at the two-yard line. And second down, and they get the they send in Dalton again, and then our tight end jumps offside, and he just made a horrible read because there was nobody even in the area where he was trying to throw it. I mean, the receiver had already broken his route, was going to the other side to the middle of the field, and really to beat the Rams tonight, they had to attack the middle of the field, probably about the 15 to 25 yard area, and if you did that, you would have had a lot of success throwing the ball because they weren't going to let you beat them over the top because the Bears have a lot of really – I mean, we probably have the fastest wide receivers right now that we've ever had in the history of the organization. So, the Rams were not going to give up the deep ball, so you got to take those 15- to 25-yard passes, but not the 1- to 3-yard passes that Matt Nagy likes to throw.
312-981-7200. Dylan and Niles, I think this point's going to resonate with a lot of people. Go ahead, Dylan.
Hey, how you guys doing? Huge fan. I just kind of wanted to add, we traded Kyle Fuller in the offseason, and, we kept Jimmy G and at the tight end spot. It's really starting to show with our team how that really has affected us on defense, and I kind of wanted to add after tonight's disgraceful performance, especially from the play calling view on Matt Nagy. What do we do with our secondary? Where do we go from here? And if you're the Bears front office, are we rolling with Matt Nagy for the rest of the year? Or is it time? I don't know.
Thanks, Dylan.
Well, Nagy's going to be here for the foreseeable future. They're not firing him after the opener. But I'll tell you this. The secondary, it's in shambles. And Jalen Johnson had a number of good plays, but he's still not a number one. And Kyle Fuller, I thought, was the best defensive player on the field for the Bears the first half of last season. And yet they think, well, we'll just let him go. He walked. We didn't trade him. And we decided to spend the money elsewhere. And as you said, we've got 18 tight ends. What did that do for us tonight?
And the secondary that doesn't even understand coverages at this point. Nope. Or the idea that, you know, it's not college, so when a guy lands on the ground, you actually have to touch him. You can't just run by him.
We've been doing the show for 7 years now. I have never seen you, and I've seen you angry, but I've never seen you as angry as you were when Van Jefferson caught a ball and Eddie Jackson and company just ran past him and he walked into the end zone. It was like you couldn't believe what you had seen in Bears football, and you've seen a lot of Bears football.
Well, I mean, like you're a defensive back and you don't know if somebody's coming at you, what you're supposed to do is tackle him, or if he's down on the ground, you got to tag him. Why? Because they can get up and run if you don't touch him. And that you could bring in that as have they practiced that with their coach? Have they gone through situations in practice where they have rules and games where they play and they actually do that? And for them to say that they didn't know or whatever, it was an out-and-out flagrant. I'd like to use some words, but I'm going to tell you. That was awful. I'd have pulled those two, and they'd have been on that bench for quite a while.
The only problem is we don't have a whole lot of depth, and they had to play. Unfortunately, they played poorly.
Well, yeah, but why not? You know, I think that's right, Dan. Why not sit him on the bench?
Matt Nagy thinks everybody's his buddy. He's not going to bench Eddie Jackson. He's not going to bench Christian. I'm just saying. I mean, we're in a bad mess here, folks.
For those two guys to get away with it, and by the way, they should have been called out really big time for that and throughout the rest of the game. You kidding me? You mean to tell me in today's game and all the meetings you go through, the practices, and they've been here, and they don't know that the guy is still live? They don't know that? They don't even make an effort to get to him? You will be sitting on that bench. That's why, you know, I'm going to tell you something, folks, and Dan and Glenn and Mark, I'm going to tell you something. It's time. We need a Mike Ditka-type coach. We do not need a coach who wants to be everybody's best friend. You've got to hold these kids, their feet to the fire. You've got to make them accountable. And if they're not, you get rid of them. That's just what Mike Ditka did. We had some offensive linemen here going through the motions. They were gone. Gone. This is what we need in Chicago. A coach to hold these people accountable. My God, you're paying these people $25 million, $30, $40 million, $10 million, $7 million, most of it guaranteed. And you can't make a player understand, a defensive back, that you've got to touch a receiver, tackle him, and if he's down on the ground, you got to touch him? Folks, this is ridiculous.
And that's poor coaching, though, Ed.
Too. Oh, absolutely it is.
It is. They don't work on that stuff. I don't know what they do at practice. I'm sure they have their little script and everything else. But this is football fundamentals. You learned that when we all first started playing football as little kids, you understood the rules, and your coaches would pound it into you, and you understood what you were supposed to do. So that's just poor coaching. Laziness, and nobody is accountable. So these guys are, listen, if you're not going to hold your son, who's, I raised four boys, if you're not going to hold them accountable when they act like knuckleheads, they're going to continue to act like knuckleheads, and they might even do it worse and worse. Would anybody disagree? And so I'm looking at this. These guys, there's no fear.
Let me tell you something. The Bears finally have gotten a pretty tough schedule this year, okay? From week to week to week, as opposed to the last 3-4 years.
Third toughest of all NFL clubs this year.
Well, right. But, boy, they've had some cream puff yours here playing against opponents. But I'm going to tell you, I'll say it again, we need a Mike Ditka coach. This guy does not know what he's doing. You can see it today. You could see it all last year. You could see it the year before. How the hell is it that you got defensive people that can't, that really don't even, obviously they don't know the real rules. They haven't been taught or they haven't been coached, just like Glenn was saying. My God, how the hell offensively could you not throw the ball down the field in 60 minutes of football? It's impossible. You know how hard you got to work at it not to do that?
The sad truth is you are a byproduct of your practice habits. Right. Obviously, we don't have practice habits.
The other part of it, though, they, at least if I was going to try to play the devil's advocate, they know they got to touch him, but they were so far out of position on the play that he's flying past him. He can't even get back. And then you had the bomb later to Cooper Kupp that went, where they were not within 20 yards.
Here's the problem. They don't even make the effort.
Yeah,
they did not make the effort to get back and touch him. What are you talking about? I haven't gone blind yet.
38 could have touched him, Mark. I mean, Jackson took a poor angle.
Okay.
38 closed the gap. The guy fell in front of him. And all he had, I mean, honestly, I'd have been so mad, I would have speared him just because he was on the ground. And these guys don't think that way. That's the problem. And then they're out there hugging each other after the game, and you just got spanked.
Hey, Kazi, it's time now for the BBB Trusted Review, brought to you by the Better Business Bureau. Find a business you can trust at BBB.org. We could take one of those key plays to review, which I think we just basically did. But Tayshaun Gibson had an okay game. He was just but on that particular play, you're right. I mean, Jackson was way past him. But Gibson, that's fine. He should have.
But he overran it. That's why Jackson was past him.
Right.
Because he just assumed, because he was being lazy and there's no accountability, that the other guy was going to, you know, touch him.
The other guy's going to do it.
You know, heaven
Glenn,
forbid.
The most important thing is what you said. There's no accountability. And why? Because these are all his best friends. Right. And I truly believe that. I'm going to say it one more time. My God, we need a Mike Ditka coach, somebody like him to come in here and have rules and regulations, how the practices are run, and here's what you do, and if you don't, you're out of here.
Kazi, love you. Great to hear you, brother.
You guys, Hamp, we'll talk next week, but early happy birthday coming up to you.
Thank you, Hoss. I can't wait to see you soon. God bless you.
All right. See you, Ed, and I'm glad you're healthy and doing well.
All right, kiddo, right back at you.
Glenn Kozlowski, the Kozman, here on 720 WGN. 11:30, let's get a check of news.
Little Dan, get the duct tape so we can tape OB down if that happens. No. Like they do on the airplane.
No, what I'm saying is, excuse me.
Hamp and OB, sponsored by your local Chevy dealers at ChevyDrivesChicago.com. 11:36 at 720 WGN with you till the top of the hour. Rams 34, the Bears 14. It's 312-981-7200. We've been talking during the break, and basically we came up with the summation that everything this year, so far at least, is worse than it was last year, which is not good.
Folks, and we told you this on the final pregame, postgame of the year after the loss in the playoffs to the Saints. We told you we need new direction. We need a clean house and start to head in another direction. And guess what? Not only are we going in the wrong direction, but we're further down the road after watching this thing tonight.
It's just astonishing to me.
It's a shame.
To see what we saw today, that you go out there, and again, it's third or fourth and 15 yards, and you throw a 12-yard out. It's third and eight. You're throwing a 2-yard out or ball in a slip screen or a bubble screen out in the flat. It's the same thing as last year and the year before. And that's why I said this whole staff has got to go. And again, I'll say one more time, you got to get somebody in here to make these kids accountable, hold their feet to the fire, and it's got to happen. It can't go on like this. It can't. You can't sit here and have, by the way, a defense that's still good enough to get you to the Super Bowl, okay? Win playoffs. It's still good enough. Your offense is absolutely pathetic. Your game plan is pathetic. Your output is pathetic. Your scoring points is pathetic. Your average yard per run, your average yard per pass is pathetic. It's enough already, Nagy. It's enough.
You want to quibble with your partner, Hamp, on the defense is good enough?
He still thinks there are semblances of a defense that is good enough in today's game. You know,
I do. I believe they're still good enough, Dan.
Well,
I do.
Hey, Khalil Mack is invisible. Keem Hicks makes one play. Eddie Jackson, again, is a rumor. I don't know. We're going to find out. Next week, we've got Cincinnati here at home. Cincinnati has got a damn fine second-year quarterback that made a lot of plays today. We're going to find out who this defense really is.
I'm not sure he's healthy, and it seems like they're putting him out there and putting him in harm's way. We'll see.
He played really well today. I watched it. Yeah. We need to get to those calls.
Yeah, we'll get to the calls in 1 second. John, Matt, and you, 312-981-7200. But quickly, thank you to the 50-50 Sports Bar for the food tonight, which was outstanding. They brought in some of their famous chicken wings, steak nachos. Their legendary naughty lemonade was all here. You really need to check this place out. The 50-50 Sports Bar, they were rated the best wings in Chicago. How many did you eat, OB? Did you have some wings over there?
Yes, I did. Yes. I had maybe a little too many.
Yeah,
a
couple,
hey,
two.
The greatest testament, you and I looked at each other and said we ate too much.
We really.
We did.
It's we didn't.
And then had to watch the second half.
Yeah, right. Best wings by WGN-TV, Chicago Tribune, Metro Mix. If you're a fan of chicken wings, got to get over to the 50-50. Every delicious menu item at 50-50, made from scratch using only the best, freshest ingredients. You will taste the difference. Football fans, you should experience the game at the 50-50. Go and relax on their patio, watch on their jumbo 88-inch outdoor TV, or watch the game inside on one of their three floors. On game days, they're raffling off cool prizes, donating money to a different local charity each week. That is cool. Check out the 50-50 Sports Bar at 2047 West Division in Wicker Park, and you'll see why Yahoo awarded the 50-50 the best sports bar in America. More info at 550.com.
I wonder what missed tackles look like on an 88-inch screen, OB.
Crystal clear.
Pretty scary.
Yeah. Hey, John and Wheeling, thank you for your patience. I know you're frustrated, so get it on out, my friend. We're here for you. Go ahead.
Very frustrated. 50 minutes I've been waiting, and I want to ask this directly to Mr. Obradovich. Because you knew George Halas, and you played for George Halas. And would George Halas ever put up with something like this? Would he ever allow a team that he owned to be an embarrassment such as it is?
Well, to answer your question, John, listen, I played on a team that won one game, okay, and by the way, I played on a team that lost one game and we won a world championship, I say there's a fine line between winning and losing. That's the biggest lie in America. No, there isn't. It's from here to China and back. It's unbelievable. And what would Halas do? If you go from year to year since Nagy's been here. And, you know, people say, well, let's go back to 2018. They were like 12-4, whatever. Do you know that the Bears, there's 32 teams in the National Football League. They had the 32nd easiest schedule in the league. All right? Last year, they back in because they went to 7 playoff teams. Okay? They get in with an 8-8 record. You know where they're, you know, they had the what? The 28th or the 29th or 30th easiest schedule in the league? Now, this year, it's going to be a little different. I think Dan mentioned it's about the third toughest, okay? So, would Halas put up with this? I don't think he would. I mean, he put up with a lot of stuff. But, boy, to have people that, and believe me, this guy basically started the National Football League and made it pretty much where the hell it is today. If it wasn't for him, you wouldn't be seeing this. But I'll tell you this, to see a team that you they this is a passing league and you can't even throw the football down the field. You can't even throw the football down the field. We got defensive backs that don't know what the hell a tackle is or how to tackle or what it means. Would Halas be aggravated about that? Would he put up with it? No, he would not. And by the way, that's why he brought Mike Ditka in. Mike Ditka came in here because Halas had had enough of coaches with all their, you know, dipsy doodle.
Touchy-feely.
Touchy-feely, you know. And they're my guys and we're their guys. I love them. They love me. We have a lot of love around here. Not really, okay? Ditka came in here and held everybody's feet to the fire and made massive changes on personnel. Why? Because he knew how to get it done. He knew. That's how you got a Dan Hampton, a Jimbo Covert, all right? And they won a world championship, and what a lot of people think, probably the greatest team of all time. So that was really a long way of going about, would Halas put up with what he saw today? No, he would. Those guys would be on the carpet right now. I'll guarantee you. They would be on the carpet right now.
What do you think Halas would have thought about Cody Whitehair tonight, OB?
Just about the same thing I think of him. He can't play offensive guard in this league. Just look at the film today. Just look at the film from play to play to play. All right?
Can anybody on that offensive line play, OB?
No. My opinion? No. How long do you think Tom Brady would last or Aaron Rodgers would last behind these five guys?
But you know what? I made this comment.
That's the weakest point of our team is our offensive line.
There's no question.
Come on now. You don't know that?
I'm not disputing it at all.
There's no question the offensive line is
the problem.
A big part of the problem. But there's ways to fix it. There's schematic ways to help the offensive line, and yet we don't do that. I made the comment in 88, the 49ers came in here. They ran two-man pass patterns. They had one guy throwing it, and we know who he was, Montana, and he had eight guys blocking us. Now, if you can't block the Ram front with five, get six. If you can't do it with six, get seven. Do what you got to do. Make sure you're able to protect long enough to throw the ball down the field to put the fear of God and a threat into the defensive secondary. Otherwise, they're going to clamp down and constrict you.
Do you think this coaching staff is smart enough to figure that out?
No. They want to run five guys in patterns so their buddies in Cleveland can watch the film and go, oh, I see you're running five-man routes. I mean, it's insanity.
Matt in Champaign, welcome to WGN. Go ahead.
Gentlemen, I appreciate it. First time I've been able to get on here. This just goes to the two Hall of Fame defensive front seven guys, Hamp and OB. We know Pace makes more mistakes than he doesn't. Anybody with a brain cell could have moved up and drafted Fields. We know Coach, I'm blanking on his name, right, he doesn't belong there. We know it's stupid to go to Kyle Fuller go, but where is Kevin or Mack? We traded two Khalil Mack. I'm just so frustrated right now.
You're okay. Trade,
what, two firsts and a third, and I can't remember if it was another player traded for him or not. And at the time of the trade, there was talk about him being a surefire Hall of Famer and a perennial All Pro. And after one good year, he didn't show up in 19, he didn't show up in 20. And they were talking about the new defensive coordinator they got to replace Pagano because he retired. I don't know if Pagano was just out of gas or what, but he couldn't get anything out of Mac. And this new guy, he was a teacher. Oh, okay, well, whatever. There's no fire. There's no intensity. Where is Mac? I didn't see him getting doubled. The line is the most important part of the game, and he was almost invisible. What is going on with Khalil Mack? Why is he not an all-pro like that they traded for him?
Good question.
Okay. There's a number of ways you could look at this. Is it effort? No, I think he's still, you know, engaged and he's trying to be Khalil Mack. And we saw the statistical breakdown tonight about him and Aaron Donald and the comparisons and how many sacks they've had and this and that. But if you watch the film, he doesn't affect the game the way he did in 2018. Now, is that schematic? Is that because Vic Fangio knew what he had and he knew how to utilize him and he knew how to, you know, coach him and help him break down the opponent to where he would be able to have an advantage in matchups? That's the way it looks to me. And I'm just telling you, I mean, for 2 years, Pagano had him dropping into pass plays a third of the time, which is insanity. So I don't know if it's all Khalil, but I'll tell you this. Khalil Mack was a hell of a lot better when Akeem Hicks was playing and rolling. Akeem Hicks isn't the same player he was 2 years ago. And so you got, you know, that's what we talk about.
Time is running out.
You get a window of opportunity.
Yep.
And it's, I wasn't the same player in 88 or 9 than I was in 84 and 5. And you know what? It is what it is. I hope. Yeah, I like Khalil Mack, and God knows he's being compensated for, you know, his efforts, whatever they may be. But he's not the same player. Somehow, some way, he's got to find it. And I remember my second year, buddy benched me after a game, and he goes, "Big rookie, you ain't getting it done." And I thought I was playing hard, but in my heart of hearts, I knew I had to find a way to play harder, lower, more tenacious, blah, blah. And it changed everything. Maybe Khalil Mack needs a little, what would you say, come to Jesus moment.
For the record, they gave
him. How about the coaches holding him accountable?
Well, if they don't hold him accountable and the checks, you know, handed out on Tuesday, I mean, and here's the thing. Everybody goes, what happened to Eddie Jackson? Folks don't, here's the deal. He's making $10 million or $12 million a year. What's going to stop that? Him getting hurt. How do you get hurt? By tackling people. You don't get hurt covering. You get hurt by tackling. That's why he's not tackling anybody. It's not a mystery.
He got $33 million guaranteed. Eddie Jackson did in a four-year, $58 million deal.
And he wants the next contract for $50 million or whatever it is. And the only way that's going to go away is if he breaks a shoulder or tears a knee up because he's being, you know, a tenacious tackler.
Coming on back here, we'll give you the Mullerato game-changing moment. We'll also have our Who Brought It Today as well. We got one segment to go here. And, yes, OB.
Yeah, I just want to say a quick thing about Mike Mueller. He's my dear friend of mine, the patriarch of the Mueller family, his son Mark and Scotty. You know, they've got, what, six locations, and I'm so glad they jumped on board and came along with the Hampton OB postgame show and pre- and postgame
show. He's almost got as many dealerships as we have tight ends.
Yeah, well, yeah, as a matter of fact, yes.
Jesper Horsted was inactive today, one of our tight ends.
No huddle here. Snapper, he gets. There's a flag down to the 35-yard line. The Bears already signaling it's against the Rams. That would have been a 56-yard touchdown. Brad Allen is the referee.
Purple foul. Roughing the passer. Defense number 96. There's all the play with touchdown. That penalty will be enforced on the succeeding kickoff.
Hampton OB, sponsored by your local Chevy dealer, ChevyDriveChicago.com. That was right when the Bears got back in the game and then right back out of it. That made it 20-7, and we're going to call that one the Mullerato game-changing moment because it felt for a second they were in there, but then they weren't.
There was about 10 game-changing moments, and, you know, we talked about the you know, insertion of Fields. What about going forward on fourth down three separate times? The futility of that. What about the six missed tackles on Cooper Kupp on third and 12, and he gets 15 yards on a little wheel route? I mean, there's a bunch of spots where we were embarrassed.
Can you point to one thing, Hamp, that the Bears are good at?
Well, making a whole bunch of people upset on a regular basis. They lead the league in that. You know, here's the thing, and it doesn't have to be like this, but, you know, at the end of the year last year, we told you that this I call it performance art, the two press conferences where they basically congratulated each other, the ownership and the coaching staff and Ryan Pace, everybody had each other's back, and you know what, we've turned the corner and now we're ready to go. And I'm telling you, tonight was a moment where we could have made a statement, and there's no reason. It's not like we got half the team hurt. We had a chance tonight. We were in that game. But we were making way too many mistakes, and our offensive game plan is putrid. It's got to stop.
It's time now for Who Brought It Today, sponsored by Blue Cross Blue Shield of Illinois, the card to bring through it all. Let's throw some love at, I think, David Montgomery, right?
Absolutely. And like I said, the so-called Nagy offense, when we look back last year, there was a couple of, you know, points in the season. I remember going to Detroit. We got in the eye. We ran the ball. Then we started play action, and we had success. And then, you know, when Nagy finally, made the decision to put Trubisky back in, they started running the ball again. I think David Montgomery scored touchdowns in the last six games because they made a commitment. And again, tonight, we had the running game going. We could build on it with the play action and then take some shots down the field. And yet,
they didn't even go to it.
We don't even try to make something big happen, OB.
Well, I'll tell you what, Danny. It just boggles my mind to see. I mean, there's basic things, my God, that you figure out in this game, offensively and defensively. This game is not a mystery. We complicate it. Nagy complicates it by his. He thinks he's this genius that he's going to reinvent how you go to practice, how do you go to training camp. I'm sick of it.
We will see you next week, 11 o'clock, our pregame, and then we'll be on after the Bears and the Bengals at 3 o'clock.
But we're really glad we're back on after the games.
We are. And a reminder, your Chicagoland McDonald's is hiring right now. Maybe we can, I'm just going to say, if Matt moves along, it'd be a great place to go. Get more than just a job. You can start building your future today working at McDonald's. You'll get paid. You'll get paid time off and a flexible schedule. So working there also works for you. You can achieve your goals and keep moving up with tuition assistance and the opportunity for growth. And, of course, you're going to get free employee meals. Apply today at careers.mcdonalds.com. Jobs you apply for may be in a restaurant owned by a franchisee. Not McDonald's. Franchisees are responsible for all employment at their restaurants.
The one-hour pregame show and two-hour postgame show. All your folks, join us.
We will see you next week. Thank you to Sam Martino doing an outstanding job producing. Hampton will be in Carm, sponsored by your local Chevy dealers at ChevyDriveChicago.com. We'll see you next week.